1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything he might have the supremacy. Colossians 1:18. Matthew 6:20-21. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:20-21. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3:2. Isaiah 55:9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:9. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 7, and Romans chapter 14, verse 5. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 7, and Romans chapter 14, verse 5. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. May we pray together, please. Father, we express our thanks today for the wonderful opportunities which we have in life to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. Our reason for being here at this very moment is to receive the thinking of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we understand the importance of realizing that the only way we're going to be successful in life, the only way we're going to be able to know what we should do and what we should not do, is to have your word captivating our thinking. And that's the reason for us being here today again. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of this day. We ask that you'll be with us in these moments of study. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to put something on the screen first of all to help you. When we find the word day in the scripture, the day of Christ emphasizes the rapture. The expression day of the Lord emphasizes the second advent. The day of God emphasizes eternity. If you'll notice, I put it in such a way that you'll be able to see that the scripture does not use the word rapture, but it uses the word parousia, which you see on the screen, P-A-R-O-U-S-I-A, which means a taking away, which in my opinion is a beautiful expression in the word rapture. The day of Christ, the day of Christ, rapture. Christos parousia. Secondly, the day of the Lord, second advent, kurios. Most of you are aware of the fact of the first advent and the second advent. And just mentioning those words, first advent and second advent, your mind tells you that you're looking on the timeline and you're seeing the time when Jesus Christ became God in the flesh, the first advent, and then you're looking over in that timeline and seeing that the rapture takes place, the tribulation 7 years, and we see Jesus Christ coming back with his saints, second advent. The day of God, eternity. Theos, aionion. Beautiful words, God and ages, eternity. Day of God, eternity. I take it that you already have that down now. Would you look with me at Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 7? We'll read, "Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guest." If you'll glance over into The 14th verse of this first chapter. Near is the great day of the Lord, near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord. In it the warrior cries out bitterly. A day of wrath is that day. A day of trouble and distress. A day of destruction and desolation. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and the high corner towers. If you'll notice, we have read the word day over and over and over again. Now, if you will, please go to the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 5. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One man regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, verse 6. He who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who does not eat for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. The emphasis this morning will be on that word day. An advanced believer considers every day as a gift from God. I'll let you think about that statement for just a few moments. When you're looking at Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 8, and when you're looking specifically at Romans 14, verse 5, one man regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. Verse 6 of Romans chapter 14, he who observes the day observes it for the Lord. And he who eats does not do so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. Verse 8. For if we live, we live for the Lord. For if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Number 2, only the believer has the provisions to purchase fully and completely each day allowed. In other words, to purchase time. I would like for you to be reminded of the fact that God has given us this day. And you and I as believers are in a position to purchase fully and completely this day that God has allowed us to have. When you go to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 6, it reveals that the capital for purchasing time is called greater grace. Notice, if you will, please, the only time that you and I can really fully realize this is that we can fully and completely purchase each day that God gives us by utilizing His grace. And that's the reason why the Scripture says, but He gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In 1 Corinthians 2, we find that throughout this passage of Scripture. You'll notice that I've said life is short, and each day we have a gift of grace. Life is short, and each day we have a gift of grace. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What a beautiful passage of Scripture that is. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Life is a vapor, James tells us in chapter 4, I've written myself a little note to read this, but I'm going to move more rapidly. But please find James 4, 13 through 15 and read it sometime. Life is a vapor. It appears for a little season and then it vanishes away. Number three, another day for us pictures God's faithfulness to us. We find that in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, where it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Verse 23 says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." What we're trying to say on number three here is that when God gives us another day, it pictures God's faithfulness to us. Are you thankful every morning when you wake that God has given you another day? Many people who were here yesterday are not here today because they breathed their last breath during the night. Another day for us pictures God's faithfulness to us. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Number four, God has provided cash to redeem each day. And that's depicted for us in Jeremiah 15, 16, where it says, "Thy words were discovered, acquired, found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Look how beautiful that passage is. God has provided cash to redeem each day. Jeremiah 15, 16. "Thy words were discovered, acquired, found. I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus spoke to Satan and said, "It is written. It has been written in the past with the results still standing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." I cannot help but pause again to tell you that I have for months now missed greatly the Greek. When you find yourself in the Old Testament, you're in Hebrew. When you find yourself in the New Testament, you're in the Koine Greek. I love the Koine Greek. I want you to see that I love it so much that I want to repeat right now some things that I find right here. You'll notice in Matthew 4:4, Jesus spoke to Satan and said, "It is written." And when you get to the Koine Greek of that, it says, this is a perfect tense verse, a perfect tense verb in this verse. Why do I say that? Because I enjoy saying it. Because I enjoy repeating the fact that this is an emphasis upon the fact that when Jesus was tempted by Satan, he knew exactly how to handle that situation. He was telling us, in essence, how we're to handle the same situation. When we find ourselves facing temptation in life, whatever the temptation is, the way to have victory over that temptation is to do what Jesus did when he was tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4. He said, "Satan, I want you to know, it has been written, the word of God, it has been written. It has been written in the past with the fact that it has been settled in the past. And what has been written in the past is very apropos for this very moment. It's right now available for me to utilize." That's what Jesus did. Do you see how exciting you can get when you get into the Koine Greek? Okay. "Thy words were discovered. I acquired, found them. I did devour them. They were to me joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." And back into that Matthew 4. "It is written. It has been written in the past with the results still standing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." It doesn't say you're not to have bread. It says you're not to understand that bread is not the only thing you need. Okay, maybe you didn't get that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Number five, every day is a special day. John 11, 9 and 10, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him. All of us are aware of the fact that walking emphasizes living one day at a time in harmony with our Lord. Does not stumble is a beautiful word in the Greek New Testament because it is a present active indicative verb, present tense continuous action. Active voice, a subject produces the action of the verb. The indicative mood is the mood of reality. Walking, living one day at a time, does not stumble, which simply means not to be hypersensitive, not to be offended. It's a continuation. Does not stumble. He sees the light of the world, which means occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking in the light then equals either out or in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every now and then I have the opportunity to reiterate to individuals things I've taught over the years. One of the things that I've taught many, many times is all of the emphasis of 1 John, the first chapter. The little words, if, are used over and over throughout that chapter. And I always enjoy talking about this because I want you to understand that the emphasis there is we may or we may not confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9. But it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have an emphasis then upon the first, second, third, fourth conditional clauses. In that passage, you have the third class conditional clause. If we confess our sins, maybe we will, maybe we won't. If we do, we will be cleansed from sin. When you look at 1 John 1, 6, and 7, you'll find that it says, if, third class conditional clause, we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse, but if we walk in the light, the next verse says, he's in the light. We have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I do not want to get into all this, but you'll notice 1 John 2:10, 1 John 2:11, it says, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But verse 11 says, but the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Number six. We're to avoid mental sins because they will bring misery every single day. We are to avoid mental sins. Are you able to see what I want to emphasize here? There are various types of sin, overt sin, attitude sin. We're emphasizing here the mental sins. I've painted a picture many times of the circle of being in harmony and in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have lived and living inside of that circle. And here we are, and here comes the temptation. The temptation itself is not the sin. It comes in and we have a decision to make as we observe that particular temptation. We either say no to the temptation or we say yes to the temptation. If we say no to the temptation is removed. We stay in harmony and fellowship with the Lord. If when that temptation comes in and we say yes to that temptation, we immediately fall out of our right relationship with Jesus Christ and moves us outside of the fellowship of, outside of the circle of fellowship. That makes sense to me. That's just a good way to see it. So we have an emphasis in 1 John all through there that every one of these little ifs is a third class conditional clause. I had fun explaining that to someone just the other day. They are not regular in attendance here, of course. So we had some conversation, and I wanted to point out the fact. So I took a napkin, and I put down on that napkin, and so you're going to be interested in this. I put down epsilon iota, EI. And then I wrote alpha nu. Now, you've been waiting for years to hear me tell you this. But I want to tell you, it, because you've heard it before and you've forgotten it, but now I'm reminding you of the fact that on that napkin I had written for this particular person, epsilon, iota, and alpha, nu. Those are four Greek letters. What is so amazing to me is when you make your way through the New Testament and you come to various verses where you find the little word in the translation, if, you have to decide from the Greek whether that is a first class, second class, third class, or fourth class conditional clause. I was so happy I could say this to this particular person. I was able to tell that person that when you come to this Greek sentence, you will discover that there is an emphasis upon two aspects. There's an emphasis upon what we call the statement clause and the answering clause. The protosis and the apotosis. I was just happy to be able to use those words. I want you to be able to see that when you look at the Greek sentence, you're going to see that the protosis is the statement clause. The apotosis is the answering clause. If, third class conditional clause, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I was happy to put this down. Epsilon, iota, alpha, nu. Stay with me and look at it for a few moments. You're seeing my invisible writing. Epsilon, iota, alpha, nu. When you bring these two together, you have epsilon, iota, alpha, nu. And you're not to have the two vowels together, so one of the vowels has to drop out. The iota drops out. And so that leaves epsilon, alpha, nu. So when I look at my Greek New Testament, anywhere I should find it, and I find epsilon, alpha, nu, immediately I know that that's a third-class conditional clause. Isn't that fun? Don't you love it? Oh, I'm so glad that you love it. It makes you feel warmer, doesn't it? And makes you feel so nice and warm. That's what we need right now. Anyway, 1 John, first chapter, all through there. Look it up in the Greek, and you're going to see that each one of those little words, if, is epsilon, E, A, alpha, nu. So it's easy to understand that that is a third-class conditional clause. Maybe we will confess our sins, maybe we won't. But it says, if we do, God's going to do something for us. He's going to cleanse us. We are to avoid mental sins because they bring misery. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. We're talking about days. We're talking about the fact that God has given us this day. We're in the middle of this day. Do you realize that God has given us this day? Are we thankful for this day? If the Lord lets us live throughout this day and then we go to sleep tonight and we wake up in the morning, are we going to be thankful that God has allowed us to open our eyes to see and be in the midst of a brand new day? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. All of us are here today. We're thankful for this day. One of these days, we're going to be gone. We may be here for 10 more years, or 15 more years, or 20 more years, or 30 or 40 or 50 more years. I don't know. But I do know this. One of these days, you and I are going to be gone from this earth. You say, well, I don't want to think about that. Well, you should. Because think about how wonderful it's going to be when we find ourselves with the Lord. And throughout eternity, be with him. How fantastic. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Psalm 102, verses 1, 2, and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. When I began this message today, I gave you this information. Some of you were able to get it down. Some of you were saying, I'll take it later. But here it is again. The day of Christ, in the scripture, the rapture. The day of the Lord, second advent. The day of God, eternity. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the privilege of being here today. We are thankful for this day. We realize that life is filled with many ups and downs and strange experiences and wonderful experiences. But each day that we live is a gift from your grace. And we're able to purchase that day, realizing that the purchase price is called greater grace. We can utilize your word and find ourselves happy, exuberant, thrilled, excited about the fact that we have been blessed with another day. And for those who hear the message today who never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, this could be the most important day of their entire lives if they will at this moment accept you as their own personal Lord and Savior. We realize that God loves the world. Christ died for us. We realize that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. We realize that there's not anything more wonderful than to be properly related to our Savior Jesus Christ. And so we pray that at this very moment, there will be those who will accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. And again, we want to thank you over and over again that you've given us this day. You've blessed us all so richly. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land, where there is no water, soul.